Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
Can you blow my whistle, baby? Whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby? Whistle, baby. Here we go. And I'm betting you like girls, to give love to girls and stroke your little ego. I bet you I'm guilty, your honor. That's just how we live in my genre. Who in the hell done paved the road wider? There's only one blow and one rider. I'm a damn shame, order more champagne. Pull a damn hamstring, tryna put it on ya. Let your lips spin back around, come up. Slow it down, baby, take a look. Can you blow my whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby, whistle, baby? Here we go. Charlotte don't even know she can get in it for the low. Told me she not a pro, it's okay, it's under control. Show me soprano, cause girl, you can handle. Baby, when stars up, then you come up in park clothes. Girl, I'm new, so my Bugatti the same nose. Show me your perfect bitch, you got it, my banjo. Talented with your lips like you blew out a candle. So amusing, know you can make it whistle with the music. Hope you ain't got no issues, you can do it. Even if it's no bitch, you never lose it. Can you blow my whistle, baby? Whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby, whistle, baby? Here we go.
Everything's right. Oh, why?
And then we have the dulcet tones of horns honking. Welcome to Milwaukee. In fact, welcome to Tacoville, because we do live in the heart of Tacoville. But anyway, it is a Wednesday night. It is May 21st. The weather is beautiful. There's a lovely breeze blowing through the apartment. I have no idea what that word was that I just tried saying, but I think that's a combination of a breeze, lovely, and I don't know what, and we got a blibbly bleeze. That's an official term. We're going to...
I have to wash this too.
Yeah, you better get start washing or it won't be dry by the morning. Anywho, as I say, we're in a much better mood today.
But I was.
So you're in a bad mood? Why are you in a bad mood?
Want to know why?
Come on, tell everybody why.
Because.
Okay.
He won't let me use his car to go to mom and kill Philip. And Liz won't let me climb through a window.
Those of you who don't know, that is a Shaun of the Dead reference, which is an excellent movie. And just to quote it, want a cup of tea, love? Sit down, I'll make you some sandwiches.
Sure, no. I'm sorry, for what?
What? Ah! Anywho, I highly recommend those of you who haven't seen Shaun of the Dead
to watch it.
It is hilarious. We're big fans of the guys who made those movies. We've got pretty much... I think there's only a couple of their movies that we haven't got. Their other ones is Hot Fuzz, Paul. World's End is hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Oh, my gosh, there's just, like, so many. Run, Fat Boy, Run is, yeah. And the good thing is that, you know, in these movies and everything,
they're like
solo budget, let's be perfectly honest.
But they're great.
But they're hilarious. I mean, and obviously there are some things in it that, you know, obviously, like, you just think to yourself, yeah, that wouldn't happen in a million years. But the guys who are in it, you can identify with. You know you have friends like them. In fact, in Paul, I can actually see Robert and a couple of his friends doing this cross-country RV.
Me and Sebastian planned this out.
I remember you saying.
We're going to rent an RV, actually we're going to buy an RV, and we're going to travel around the United States of America.
And see, and that's the whole thing is that, you know, you can't see there. If you guys knew some of Robert's friends, when he says things like that, I sit there and I can envision them. You know, that's them to a T. And the same in, like, The World's End. The whole group of them, you know when they're young who you can point out to, and even when they're adults, you can say, okay, yep, that's definitely going to be Robert, and this dude's definitely going to be Sebastian, and, you know, you go through it all. And the good thing is that they're English movies. I mean, come on now. Anything that involves wonderful English people like me is always good. Because I'm fabulous, let's be perfectly honest. But as I say, you know, we might have to... Whereabouts is my DVDs? I've got them on DVD somewhere. I'm going to have to hunt them out because I might have to have a watch of them this evening.
Me and Andy got it for you for... what was it? For your birthday? Wait, no.
Christmas. Yes, I think they're in the bedroom. So, yeah, they are, like, really good movies and everything. Obviously, we're British people and you can't go wrong. And let's be honest, I bet there's not one friend of mine who, when they hear an English person say, I'd love a cup of tea, does not think of me. But anyway, back to this evening and everything that's going on. The weather, as I say, is beautiful. It feels like it's summer and spring's finally creeping in upon us. We got up to 85 degrees today.
89.
It was 89 in South Milwaukee. Tomorrow it's supposed to drop down to the 60s, but it's supposed to be completely, completely beautiful, which is great. You know, sunny weather is always good. Oh, shoot, I'm going to have a yawn here. The other thing that's, you know, really nice is that finally we're coming up to those parts of the year where everybody can get out and everything. But the sad part of that is as well is that we are privy to seeing some of the worst stress the world has to offer. Just because they make it and you can squeeze your ass into it doesn't automatically mean you should wear it. They do booty shorts in my size, but I will not wear booty shorts mainly because I do not want to embarrass myself and my family. You know, let's be perfectly honest. If your butt cheeks hang lower than your knees, you do not need to be wearing it. Oh, we should sing that. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Do your butt cheeks hang low? Can you swing them to and fro? Can you tie them in a knot? Can you tie them in a bow? Can you toss them over your shoulder like a regimental soldier? Does your butt hang low?
The butt hang low.
So, yeah, we have that butt cheek moment. And for women, I implore you, unless you have implants or you have tiny boobies, please, for the love of God, wear a bra and make sure it's clean. There is no excuse for not wearing a clean bra. If you are wearing a white T-shirt, your bra should be white. It should not be gray, unless it's actually the color gray. It should not be gray from dirt. It should not have pit stains on it. And it should not have a black rim like the black hole of Calcutta around the armpits and under it. You should have a nice...
Did you say like the black hole of Al-Qaeda?
No, Calcutta, honey, not Al-Qaeda. But seriously, there is no excuse for it. You can go to Walmart, buy a cheap bra for under $10. If your kids don't eat that night, it doesn't matter. Just say that Hazel said, I need a clean bra. The other thing I would like to point out, hair removal. Men, if you want to have a chest and a back that looks like you're a Wookiee from Star Wars, go right ahead. If you want to walk around going, like Chewbacca, go right ahead. However, if you are a woman, I implore you, either shave it, dye it a nice pretty color, braid it, or put bells in it. But don't go around looking like you could sport more hair than your husband who sat next to you. If you have facial hair, wax it. There's no need... Oh, God, yeah. There is no reason why you need to have a moustache and beard bigger than the man you're with.
A moustache.
That's my words of advice. I think we all should follow them. And give me a round of applause for coming out and saying it. But seriously, let's be perfectly honest. I think that people need to learn how to dress respectfully. I understand that women want to be sexy. It's summertime, you want to have a boo on your arm, go out to the club, shake your thing with your new honey. But women, you do not have to have your titties, your butt cheeks, and your tootie flaps hanging down low. That's just disgusting, Robert.
It all depends on who.
Would you want to see the skank that we lived with dressed like that? But, I mean, let's be honest. You've got to have, and I hate to say, in order to pull off some things, you have to have a nice body. I personally won't be walking around in booty shorts and tiny little tank top because I would look like the Michelin Man. And either that or a beached whale. And if I look like a beached whale, there's a very strong chance that Greenpeace is going to come through, ensnare me in a net, and drag me back into the Atlantic Ocean, which is fine if they drag me all the way back to the UK, because then I can visit the Falks, all that good stuff. But no, I don't swim well. I don't need to be dragged back into the ocean. I am, however, renting out the shadow of my ass for the summer, mainly because if I bend over in the summer, the shadow that is created from my buttocks, you could park a minivan in. Nice bit of shade, slip me $10, I'll bend over, you get shade on your car, no hot leather, no hot steering wheel when you get in. On that note, I have made a fool of myself for long enough. Well, only 15 minutes. Great, we've got an hour and 45 left of me acting like a complete ass to go. So we shall play a song. We only have three songs because we haven't paid our bill on Blog Talk Radio. So it limits us from my normal 150 songs down to three. So we will play this. Be back soon. I'm in the middle of nowhere talking to myself.
You are.
I feel like that on a daily basis, actually. I'm sure I just waffle on and people are like, mm-hmm. The Hazel Zone. Picture this. A man going beyond sight and sound. He has entered the demilitarized zone. Ho, hee, ho, Ho Chi Minh. Any of you who have actually watched Good Morning Vietnam will know what that's from there. What's actually really funny is that there's a lot of teachers at Robert School, obviously, who are in my age bracket and older. And Robert, being my son, has grown up watching a myriad of different movies in, you know, it's not just the most recent ones that come out. You know, we've always watched older movies and everything. And one of my favorites is actually Good Morning Vietnam. And so I had Robert watch it and everything. And one of his favorite lines is where the guy says to him, what was it? He says, what's three up, three down mean to you?
End of an inning.
Yeah. The guy's response is end of an inning, which is basically like a baseball reference. Well, Robert, when he was in school one day, his teacher said, does anybody know what three up, three down means? And Robert, because he'd seen the movie, said end of an inning, which prompted his teacher to start laughing. And, you know, kudos to Robert. He knew the movie and everything and had a good laugh. But there's a lot of things, as I was explaining earlier, our family is so big on movies together and watching movies and all this stuff. Like right now, while I've got the show on, I have Avengers on. I'm driving everybody completely crazy right now with World War Z, and I blame my son for that. I will blame my son for that because when it comes to World War Z, that movie to me is how a zombie movie should be. Don't get me wrong, I love the older ones. I really, really do. But, you know, to me, World War Z is just brilliant. It's so much fun. It makes me laugh so hard. It really does. Not in the sense that it's funny, ha-ha, but there's certain bits in it where they've discovered that the zombies are attracted to noise, so as long as they keep quiet, they're able to go around. And one bit that makes me laugh, and I don't know why, is when you've got this group of soldiers, and they're like, okay, guys, time to go dark. And everything goes dark, because obviously light is going to attract the zombies as well. And they all get on regular bikes and start cycling. You're used to seeing the army and anybody in the military, big trucks, tanks, guns blasting, loud roars and that. They come on these bikes, and I swear to you, if one of them was riding a pink toddler bike, I would have been surprised and I would have just started laughing. But it's silly little things like that, and like the guy in it, it's in the same scene. He'd been trying to get it, yeah, Brad Pitt, he's trying to get hold of his wife, but where they weren't able to communicate. So his wife calls him, which makes his phone ring, which blows their cover, and the zombies attack, and you hear this one member of the armed forces is like, could you please remember to turn your cell phone pages off? And it's like, he says it so matter-of-factly, like he's on an aeroplane.
It's like a sentiment message. Please turn off all
pages. And cell phones at this time, yeah. And to me, it's like, it's funny. It is funny. But it is actually a really, really good movie. As I say, it's one of my favorites, and I am driving everybody insane right now with watching it. I need to seriously get it on DVD, and then I can watch it in my bedroom. But as I say, movies are really a big part of our life and everything, and, you know, it's one of the things that holds us together. Me and Robert often have, when it's just the two of us, have our movie nights. And, you know, we will rent a movie. Biggest movie do not rent in a million years. We made this mistake. As a lot of you know, there's a movie out there called Pompeii, which is actually the story of when the volcano erupted. So it is way back, you know, and apparently it's pretty historically accurate of what they found out through inscriptions and stuff they found and everything. And it's based during that time when the Mount, I can't remember, what's the name of the mountain again? That's gone from my head completely. I'm going to have to Skype it, Google it.
Skype,
okay. Excuse me. This is Hazel. I'm in the U.S. Could you tell me? Oh, my gosh. Vesuvius. Mount Vesuvius. So, it's, you know, it was right by that, in that time frame, way, 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 way back. And, you know, it's about that. So when me and Robert saw this movie that had Pompeii in the title, we thought to ourselves, oh, wow, it came on demand really quick. That's awesome. We're going to sit down and watch it. We were so wrong. I mean, we have to be safe. Historically speaking, Hazel Flynn and Robert Crawford found possibly the worst special effects movie ever. The cheesiest movie ever.
And they were so inaccurate.
Oh my god.
Volcanoes. And the thing was, is that I've just been taught about volcanoes.
Yep.
And the fact that I watched that movie, I almost cried. Because it was so bad.
But, and this is everything that, it, you know, it has to be said, is that in regards to this particular movie, they took some of the very basic facts about volcanoes, and it was like, they were like, oh yeah, there's a cloud that comes from it. We'll do something about this big cloud, and lava flows, and then this happens, and then they took it. And instead of actually looking into, okay, what is a pyroclastic cloud and what does it do and when does it happen?
Well, pyroclastic flow.
Yeah.
A pyroclastic flow is a bunch of gases, like hot gases and like molten rock and stuff. And it's just black and it can travel up to 150 miles an hour. Down the volcano. It's not a cloud. They got it all wrong.
I think they say it, they call it a cloud because of the way it looks when it goes.
Yes, but they still got it wrong.
It doesn't matter. What you got to understand is at the time when these different terminology was thought up for these different things, it was based on how things look. Let's be honest. You're not going to stand in the middle of one and say, oh, I was wrong. It ain't no cloud, honey. You know what? No one's going to survive it to be able to do it. So, you know, but this whole movie took it to, I swear, they had these balls of lava, okay, that were shooting everywhere. I kid you not, Kobe Bryant couldn't have made a more perfect basket than these balls of lava landing in garbage cans. And that's all they landed in, was garbage cans. They didn't land anywhere else. They landed in garbage cans, except for that one that hit that dude.
He's sniping,
and this like, ooh. But the special effects, you could do on an iPhone. Let's be perfectly honest here. In fact, Robert at the time, he had an iTouch, and he had this program on there where you could do similar things. And in the course of this movie, Rob actually made a movie with better effects. I will be perfectly honest. Including me doing the surprise face, like, oh, you know, before something hit me. And I mean, this, the helicopters, they showed. Anybody who's been in a helicopter or has the vaguest knowledge about a helicopter knows that if you open a helicopter door while it's in flight, there's air currents that go in, so everybody's hair is like wisping around everywhere.
You open the door,
and nothing.
Standing there.
There's nothing, no hair moving. They're not, and you know you have to put on, because of the noise of a helicopter, you have to put on a headset and everything to speak. And they're talking like I am to you. Yeah, there's a building over there. We must fly in that direction. We swear, the budget for that movie went on the one car that was in it.
Yeah, it was a Volkswagen.
Yeah. And even then, they probably borrowed it from Uncle George, who's related to one of the cameramen, who said, give me $50 and a six-pack of beer. That's where the budget went. I'm not joking. Me and Robert sat there. This is his punishment. If he is really out of control, he's watching that movie from start to finish. I'm going to handcuff him to a chair. That's all there is to it. But it was really bad. But as I say, we do actually have our movie nights and everything. And, you know, they're so much fun. We love them. And I can pretty much guarantee that every night we've got movies going on. And we have a good time. And that's what keeps our family together. That's one of our things is our movies. That and shopping. I swear to you, as a family, you don't want to go shopping with us. If we have money and me, Robert, and AJ go shopping at a mall, there's, as you said, there's only one person who can actually testify to the fact of how bad it is, and that was when Cora was in town. Me and her in the Disney store, we take it as a challenge. Those shopping baskets and stuff there are a challenge. How much stuff can you fit in them, and can you get away with buying everything despite doing a pretty smile and everything? I still want to get the tea set. Oh, my God, really diverting off the subject. The Disney store had this gorgeous little tea set with princesses, and each set had little princess teapot and a princess cup, and it had the princesses on it. And, oh, it's so pretty. I want to be a princess. AJ? I want to be a princess. But I want to be a princess. But anyway, it's just one of those things where, you know, everything that, you know, goes on and everything in our household is pretty much based around those things. And even though Robert's getting older and he finishes middle school and everything, you know, and we both drive each other insane. We've got very similar personalities. So when we butt heads, it's like World War III breaking out. But we do have our moments where, you know, our whole thing is we will have a movie night and we'll have a good laugh. And as I say, shopping, oh, we can shop.
Oh, don't go with me with shopping.
Bye, money. Women be shopping. Women be shopping. It's like, our family be shopping. Our family be shopping.
Do you
do
me a favor once you take the next break?
What favor do you need?
Help me ring those out.
Okay. On that note, my son needs to help him ring out his clothes. So I'm going to put on a song that's about 6 minutes long. This is your time. Go get a drink, bowl of ice cream, go to the bathroom, take a quick shower. If you're quick at it, have some nookie. Do what you have to do. I got to wring out some clothes. I'll be right back, my lovelies.
What?
Hey, we're here for the gig.
What?
The gig, the show,
the gig.
Concert.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How you doing? Come on in. Come on in. Listen, your mother be so proud you're playing my place. I had a band here last week that... Nah, forget about it. Listen, I got one plug. There it is. Band's ready? Go ahead, get started.
Roberto Cavalli, mommy with the dime string. Hotter than tamales, you probably should be my wild thing. Tell the mother chicks mind their own business and let us do our thing. I got to open, you open, choking, now you're choking weird. And I'm not from Texas, but I hold them, rope them, and I yoke they neck. You gon' make a play or two, tell me what that thing will do.
live in session, let me just show you a thing or two. I'll strip you down to your bare minimums, and I'll lick you down. You taste like cinnamon, and I'll grab a little bit of that whipped cream. Then I'll put her on the back, hit me. Then I'll get her in the matrix, cut her like LASIK, basically make a scream. At the top of a lung, give her shortness of breath. How many times can you come before I poke you to death? Someone calling the ref. Ludacris is tired of playing. In the middle of the stage with an ass like that, you got everybody saying,
hey, you the rock star, baby. Up in the building making the club go crazy. Hey, you the rock star, baby. Don't ask like that, you must be a rock star, baby. Hey, I'm a rock star, baby. Smoking with this weed and Patron got me dazed.
Your booty so swole, how you get them jeans around it? Girl, your booty so swole, why you think I'm singing about it? Hit it hard from the back and then I go to sleep and dream about it. It's like that ass is cracked the way you got me feigning about it. I'm telling you now, the way we fuck only to childbirth. And rocking to this guitar's about to have me crowd surfing. Kelda put on a show up until they closed curtains. Then right after the show, backstage ass hurting. Call me Scotty, cause girl, I'm about to be up. Once I get you home, come on about them teacups. Stroking it hard while you got your legs up. Making you sound like you got the hiccups. Know what you want, cause I'm about to give you what you need. Up in my room, you're screaming Hercules. Man, kick Kelda Luda on the track, a hit is guaranteed. Everybody on their feet, this is what y'all church should read.
Hey, you the rock star, baby. Up in the building, making the club go crazy. Hey, you's a rock star, baby. Don't ask like that, you must be a rock star, baby. Hey, I'm a rock star, baby. Smoking with this weed and Patron got me dancing. Yeah.
Trying to ring them out, but they're pretty much good to go right now. But anyway, as I say, we are here. It is 9:38, and as I've already mentioned, it's a gorgeous evening. You can't get much better than this. Well, you could. I just need to have a cup of tea. And in fact, let's take you guys to the kitchen with me. My word, what is this world coming to that I don't have a cup of tea? I mean, come on now, people. This is me. So, let's make a cup of tea, shall we? We'll do it this the English way. First, you get a kettle and you fill it with some water. The water needs to be fresh in order to make the perfect cup of tea. When you have your kettle with water, you place it on to boil. And this is what we shall do. You then go and find a lovely tea bag
That is tea bag, not tea bagging. You put the tea bag in the cup. In traditional UK fashion, you then get your milk. Your milk is then added to a splash in the bottom of the cup, ready for the hot water. And then you sit back and wait. Waiting is the hardest part of this, because in order to wait, you must have patience, of which I have none. Our commercial break was brought to you in part by Hazel's multiple personalities. Love one of us, love us all. Anywho, we'll wait for the kettle to boil, and we'll just see what, you know, the world's going to bring us. So, we're going to, like, sidetrack back a little bit to a couple of things that had happened over the weekend. Those of you know, Return to Zero was released on Saturday. It's a huge movie in regards to the baby loss community, because it's one of the very first movies that actually deals with stillbirth and the loss of a child. The reviews were, and this is my personal opinion, it was a good movie, but it was very hard for me to watch. It provoked a lot of emotions that I had pretty much kept buried down. And I felt there was a lot of darkness to the movie. I understand that there is a very dark side to child loss. There really is. But in my opinion, I think they did a good job. I don't want to take it away from it. I'm just trying to think of the right words. I think that they needed to have shown a lot more of how you are after that. I don't believe for one minute that they didn't get online and try to work out why this was going on. I really don't. I don't believe for one moment that they weren't doing that. Every parent I know who has lost a child has gone onto that computer to find out why. What did I do wrong? What could I have done that I didn't do? Why has this happened to me? Was age a factor? Was my weight a factor? Was the medication I was taking that was prescribed by the doctor that he said safe, okay for me to take? And none of that was shown. Pretty much everybody I spoke to said that they had that frantic urge to find out why. And being told, you know, by your doctor, well, these things sometimes happen, you know, sadly, that's what my doctor said. I know that's what a lot of people's doctors said. But it doesn't rest easy with you. You know, you don't sit back and say, oh, okay, that's great. Thanks for letting me know. Appreciate it. See you in my six-week checkup. You know, that's not how it is. I won't be buying the movie, mainly because I won't ever watch it again. And to me, then it's a complete waste of money, me spending like $27 on a movie that I'm not going to watch again. That's basically how it is for me. I know that my opinions weren't very popular. I know a couple of people had real issues and told me privately that they had real issues with it, that I was doing a disservice to the community by saying that I didn't like how a lot of things were said. But as I pointed out, this is my opinion on it. It done what I hoped it would do, in the sense that it got people talking. And at the end of the day, it's giving a voice. And that's the whole point. It's getting people out there. It's getting out there and saying, okay, this is, you know, this is real life. This is what happens. This is what we deal with. And for that, it's great. It did its job. People are still talking about it. People are still saying, you know, they're asking questions about it. And that's the way it should be. But I'm not going to say I like a movie or I enjoyed it just purely for the sake of, you know, being part of a collective. I made that mistake once before, and it led to nothing but problems, heartache, and trouble. A lot of you know what happened last year and everything. And that was part of being following what I thought were the, you know, right people, instead of standing up and having a voice of my own. I'm not going to do that anymore. As I said, I found the movie very hard to watch. It opened up a lot of wounds that, in my mind, didn't need to be opened up for me. And I know for some people it was great. They were very happy with how it was. But as I say, for me, it just wasn't there yet. I'm glad that it's made people talk. I do actually have the discussion book downloaded onto my computer because I do believe that it does have some valid points to discuss and to go through. And if anybody wants that link for that discussion book, just give me a shout on Facebook. You know how to get hold of me. I'll gladly get that to you. You know, so that's basically what, you know, my whole view and everything was on it. It provoked a very, very bad evening for me. I know AJ noticed that I really wasn't in a good place. And bless his heart, you know, he's, since, you know, right near the beginning, he was always there and has always supported me. And I know that if I've needed to have a good cry, I can lean on him, or he knows when I need time away, when I need that space. And I know it was hard for him to watch, too. I did see him a couple of times during it become quite emotional, as I'm sure it provoked a lot of memories for him as things, you know, happened. But as I say, my opinion of it was is that there was a lot of things that I felt were missing from it. There were a lot of things that I really didn't like how certain people were portrayed in it, including the husband. It showed him as being very cold, very callous. And I understand everybody deals with things in their own ways. I just had no time for it. One of the good things that, you know, as I say, that has come out of it is the fact that people are talking about it. And people who aren't necessarily in the baby loss community either are actually saying, well, what is this movie you're talking about? A friend of mine in England, her name is, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Jim. With me.
Her name is Leanne. Ooh, I'm in a yawn here. I knew her from school. We went to school together. She is an amazing, amazing person. I love her to death. And she experienced a miscarriage. And she actually told me that she always, and that was painful enough, but she would love to have had better insight as to what I was going through in order to understand the drive that I have for what I do in regards to Maddie's memory. And she watched it when it came on in the UK, and she sent me a message afterwards, and she just said, I just wish I could hug you right now. And I'm glad that other people outside the community are watching it, and the vague hope that they do understand. You know, I wouldn't wish this journey on anybody. I really wouldn't. And so I am glad when people do make the effort to understand. I do like it when people say to me, look, tell me what happened. What happened? And do you know why? And, you know, and question. If you ask questions, I'll answer you. Some questions I say I don't know to, because I really don't know those answers. But, you know, in general, you know, we have no issue answering questions. It helps us so much when people come to us and say, look, I don't understand what you went through. I don't understand what stillbirth means, or I don't understand, you know, what a miscarriage is. My mom had one, or, you know, my cousin had one, but I never really understood it. You know, by asking questions like that, we have no problem in saying to you, okay, well, this is what it is. This is what it means. It's actually, I don't want to say a privilege, because talking about the death of your child isn't a privilege, but it is actually an honor being able to speak about these things and being able to tell people why these certain things happen. And that is one thing that has come out of Return to Zero, and I'm hoping that it continues, and I'm hoping that media in general picks up on these issues and speak about it a lot more, because, you know, there is so much that needs to be done. Bear with me a second, people.
Are you going to hang up these clothes or not? Because you've got wet clothes on the couch and you've got wet pair of jeans in the kitchen.
No, now. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that, you know, it's actually helping do. And I think as, you know, time goes on, more and more people are going to step forward and say, well, you know what, this happened to me. I have noticed that, you know, I know this is going to sound kind of strange. A lot of people seem to assume that child loss is a new thing. You know, it's a new deal, and it's got to be because of environmental issues, or it's got to be because of diet and a whole different things. When, in fact, the loss of a child has been going on for as long as there's been life in one form or another. And you know, we're now at a point where we have this media outlet that we can speak about it and everything. Whereas before, in years gone by, there hasn't been that. My parents never had that outlet. My mom never experienced a loss, which I'm very grateful for. But then you go back to my grandparents. My grandma actually had two losses before she fell pregnant with my mom and my aunt. Her mother had experienced loss of her child. His little boy, his name was Roy, and he died when he was five, I believe, something like that. You know, it goes on and it goes on, and yeah, healthcare has got better, so there, you know, there's still, you know, help for certain conditions that, you know, you can get help for and get sorted, and that's going to fall out the window if you do that. But, you know, there's still 1 in 4 women experience a loss of some kind, and that's still something that's way too many. But, you know, hopefully things will get better, things will improve for people, and we will be able to talk a lot more about it. I now have my cup of tea with me, so I'm going to play a song. As I say, I've only got 3 songs, so I'm going to repeat one. And I will be right back.
Can you blow my whistle, baby? Whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby, whistle, baby? Here we go. Look, I'm betting you like people, and I'm betting you love freak mode, and I'm betting you like girls to give love to girls and stroke your little ego. I bet you I'm guilty. We live in my-
seriously weird. That restarted all by itself. But, yeah, we are back. It is nearly 10 p.m. here in Milwaukee. And, you know, there's been a couple of, like, strange events happened in the Milwaukee area. Well, not strange, sad events, I should say. A little boy, he was 8 years old, got knocked over and killed by a school bus near us today, which is really sad. The area in question where it happened, I can understand why there was an accident. The driving along there is crazy. The parking is even worse, and kids just run out in the street. You know, parents obviously aren't teaching some of their kids to cross the street at the crosswalk. It's just like, run now, you'll make it. And that's the sad part. And sadly, this little 8-year-old boy lost his life today. I actually spoke with a friend of mine in regards to this earlier, and it seems, I don't know if anybody else agrees or not, but it seems to be a general lack of teaching your children sidewalk and road safety lately. I see a lot of kids just running along, running across the street, not stopping at the curb, looking both ways. They forget that, yeah, you do have the right to cross at crosswalks and certain areas, but it doesn't automatically mean a car is going to stop and obey. You know, you still have to make sure that you look, that when you do cross the street, you look both ways, you do check for traffic. And we need to be teaching our kids that a lot more as well. I actually remember when I was in school, we would have school outings to learn how to cross the street. And, you know, a lot of that now seems to have gone. There seems to have, you know, we're so set on making sure our kids do all these other things and have computer knowledge and everything that sadly some basic skills are sadly lacking. As I say, crossing the street is one of them. Too many kids think that, you know, okay, we can run across. If I run across, I'll make it across. And, you know, that's not how it goes. You know, this is real life. You run across the street and there's a car coming, you stand a good chance of getting your butt hurt or even killed, which is even sadder. And people seriously have to take a bit more, pay a bit more attention, rather, should I say, to making sure that their kids know these things. Same with bike safety. In the UK, when I was riding a bike to and from school, you weren't actually allowed to do it unless you passed your cycle proficiency test, which was basically the same as taking a driving test, but on a bike. Once you did that, then you were given a certificate, and you were then allowed to ride to and from school. Up until that point, you weren't allowed. And I think that's the other thing that we've forgotten is how to teach our kids, I mean, it's road safety in general, crossing the street, riding a bike, walking along the sidewalk. You know, it's not playtime at the OK Corral when you walk on the sidewalk. You know.
OK Corral.
Yeah.
OK Corral.
I'll explain later. It's, you know, you have to be a responsible person and teach these kids. As I said once before, you know, a lot of parents act as though their kids are a fashion accessory and like, what's that? I'm wearing my Gucci shoes. I got my Coach bag. I got my Levi's on. I got my baby fat shirt. And I've got a little Taekwon over there coming with mama. Please, people, teach your kids out across the street. Ride a bike properly. Learn these things to avoid so many tragedies and everything that happened. Just please, I'm begging. You know, I very rarely beg, but I am begging this once. So, you know, let's do this. Let's make our kids productive. So I actually have a question, and maybe Robert can answer this because he is a teen. So, Robert, why do you think the kids think it's okay to run across the street and all that lot? Do you think it's because parents don't teach them? Or do you think it's just because they think they can?
Because they can.
Okay, he says because they can.
I do it.
I know you do it, and you give me a damn heart attack every time.
I'll be fine, though.
You are not Speedy Gonzales.
Yeah, yeah.
Me and him are going to be having a talk later, that's for damn sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, you're leaving the screen in. Do you know what? I would really watch your temp hook because I can see you doing your your big heavy breathing. Really? You're not getting an attitude? Right.
But
hang it up. It will go up. Oh, Lordy. I'll be back in 1 second. Silence was brought to you by me thinking there's nothing going on in my brain right now. So I'm trying to think what else, you know, we should actually talk about, and I have absolutely no clue, to be perfectly honest with you. But there is one thing I did want to say. Tomorrow is actually should have been the 31st birthday of my wonderful sister Kayla. I didn't know Kayla all my life. We actually met the year before she died. I was looking for family members. As some of you know the story that my father read the part of the Bible that said, be fruitful and multiply, and decided that was a good thing to live by. And there's quite a vast amount of us. And so I met my sister, as I say, the year before she passed away. And it was instant. Oh, my gosh, the Skype conversations we would have, it was all the time, late at night, you know, and we both got pregnant at the same time, even though she knew before I did that she was pregnant. And, you know, we
we were as thick as thieves. It was so wonderful. I have a stepsister who, don't get me wrong, I love dearly, but I wanted a sister. I really did. And it was wonderful. She was my rock. She really was. When found out Maddie died, it was her and Maddie's godmom, Anne, who just were constantly making sure I was okay, you know, was I all right and everything. And as I say, she was still pregnant. We actually joked. She was actually due with Ellie on November 28th. And, you know, I kept saying to her, I said, you're not going to have her on November 28th. You're really not. I said, she's going to be born on the day Maddie is due. And she would argue with me and we'd have a good laugh about it. And we also would joke around and she would say, you know what, I'm going to get to meet Maddie before you. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. I said, I'm getting the first hug from my boy. She's like, nope, I'm going to be hugging him first. And we kind of like, we would joke around about that and, you know, have a good laugh and everything. And she finally went into labor and, you know, she had Ellie on December 4th, which was Matthew's due date, at 11:36 p.m. We joked that Maddie was in there kicking her out, kicking his little cousin out to make sure that that day would be a happy day. As it was. It was a wonderful, wonderful day. In the latter half of her pregnancy, she kept complaining that she was having chest pains, that it felt like something was ripping in her chest. When she went and saw the doctors, they never checked her heart or anything. They just kept saying, well, it's where the baby is growing, you know, is getting big. It's where, you know, she's pulling and pulling and you're stretching muscles, you're tearing muscles. And they convinced her that there was something wrong with her diaphragm, all this kind of stuff. Never checked her heart, never checked her heart. And, you know, it was, it just went on like that. Then it was 10 days later was the last time I spoke to her. And she was still complaining that she was in pain and everything, but she'd had a C-section, so she was putting it down to that. Any woman who's had a C-section knows that is not a pleasant experience to go through. It was my nephew Jack's birthday party, and she threw that birthday party and collapsed that night. She was rushed to the hospital, and they were doing tests on her, and she kept saying, you know, I'm fine, nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong. And on December 16th of 2012, my beloved sister, aged 29, passed away. So she did beat me to get hold of Maddie first. She got in before me. And it was hard. You know, in the space of that year, I'd lost Maddie in July. I'd lost my grandma in September. And then I lost my sister in December. And she'd always said her and her fiancé were going to come out here right after her 30th birthday, which was May 22nd of 2013. Said, I'm going to come out there. We're going to meet you. I'm going to meet you, sis. You know, I've waited a long time. I'm going to meet you. And her fiance, Matt, is a huge, huge nature freak. He wanted to go storm chasing and all that lot. And, you know, I was so looking forward to it. I was going to meet my sister. You know, I was going to meet this wonderful, wonderful person. And it never happened. That day, that losing her, was so hard. It was really, really hard. I just remember I was sat in the living room of our home and AJ was outside talking to a friend who was also part of a wrestling business. And I remember Kayla's mom saying to me, she's gone, she's gone, she's not coming back. And I was like, who? And she told me, and I just remember sitting in the living room and screaming, you know, not my sister. And I called AJ out the window and he came in and she was gone. And I felt bad because the day before I was having a bad time with, you know, losing Maddie because it was coming up to Christmas. And I didn't want to talk to her because you know, she had Ellie and I wanted Maddie here, and I wish I had spoken to her. And when she died, it was funny because Kayla's mom went through all of her stuff, found this envelope, and in this envelope was a letter to Maddie saying, I promise I'll look after your mom. You know, I promise to look after her. You know, she's going to be okay. And saying that she was angry with God as to why this happened. And she'd printed up photos that I had of Maddie because Walgreens wouldn't reprint them up. And she printed them up there. And so in this envelope, I have two of the most important people, one of my son and my sister together. And it was very, very hard, you know, reading that. And also at the same time then, my stepmom had sent the details of the funeral, the program, and also the transcripts of the service. You know, it was just, it's just crazy. It really is. And tomorrow she would turn 31. So I know that heaven's having a big old party for her because Lord knows that she could throw a party, and she was so full of life, so, so full of life, and I miss her a lot. I really do. I do have some wonderful people who are in my life. I'm not saying that, but I do miss her tremendously, and all of the fun that we used to have, and, you know, it's just wonderful. So I hope tomorrow, I just ask if everybody can just, for 1 hour, just post up pictures of pink flowers. Pink was one of her favorite colors along with purple. Just post pink flowers tomorrow. I would love to see that. It would just absolutely make my day. So, ooh, get rid of the tears. Get rid of the tears. I have to flap her, do a traditional woman thing and flap a piece of paper in front of my face. Get rid of the tears. That. Oh. As I say, I'm going to have words with her when I do get up there. You know, I'm going to tell her, you know, that wasn't fair. You know, you get to meet my son before me, and I dread to imagine what she's telling him. That's the other thing, too. But it's kind of funny because I got some really good friends, obviously, who also have lost children, and you know, I see all of our personalities and how we are, and I swear I've said it so many times. When any of us get to heaven, we're going to, my opinion is we're going to get in there and it'll be like, Matthew's mom, great, come with me, we need to chat. Especially judging that my son would have the same personality as his dad, me, and his big brother as well. So I know we're going to have issues. But the one thing that I will say is that I am blessed that I did get to know her. I did get to have time with her, regardless of how short it was, and I wish it could have been a lifetime. I'm so glad I did get to have that time with her, and I carry her everywhere in my heart. She always, always will be in my heart. The one thing that I will say is that if you are somebody who is pregnant or any condition and you feel pain in your chest, demand that they check your heart out. I really wish that my sister had been a bit more pushy and forthcoming and saying, please, you know, just check it out, check it out, check it out. I don't know if it would have saved her life because she died of a torn aorta. I don't know if it would have saved her life or not, but at least they might have been able to have done something. You know, they might have been able to have helped in some way, because it's not right. Her son and her daughter are growing up without their mom. Ellie was 12 days old when Kayla died. Jack was 10, and you know, Jack will remember mom. He remembers her and you know all this lot, but Ellie is never going to know what it's like to have one of her mum's hugs and everything. So, you know, I'm really hoping that, I know I will, if she asks me, I will tell her. I really wish that, you know, I hope that all of her family will as well, and I know they will. You know, I know that they will, you know, keep her memory alive and everything. So, I really kind of thought now, I wish I had some more music to play, otherwise I'm going to be playing the same songs over and over again. But yeah, we got like 43 minutes left of the show. The weekend's coming upon us, and it is actually Memorial Day weekend, and I hope that everybody remembers what Memorial Day is about. Yeah, it's nice to get together with families, have a cookout, have a three-day weekend, but there's a lot more to it, and people need to remember that. It's a way of saying thank you and giving thanks to all of those soldiers and anybody in the armed forces who served and lost their lives, who served and since then is struggling because of what they've been through, who served and is still serving. You know, all of that. You know, it's about saying thank you. And there are a lot of people who, you know, may have made it back from various wars and from serving, but who didn't come back whole. I'm not just on about who lost limbs, who, you know, are seriously injured and everything. I'm on about those who lost part of themselves. PTSD is no joke. It really is no joke. You know, how can... We need to be... The government needs to help us treat our veterans with such more care and much more respect than they do right now. You know, a lot of people with PTSD won't go and get help because so many people are overlooked, and it's like, well, you'll be fine. You know, that kind of thing. And a lot of times it's the family members who push and push and push. Our veterans are the largest growing number of homeless people there are out there. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, when veterans come home, they should have a home. They should have a home to go to. You know, and a lot of them, they're not asking for a big fancy house in the middle of the country. They're asking for a roof over their heads where they can put a bed, where they can sleep at night, where they can, you know, make a meal, you know, and where they can have a safe place. That's all it is. It's about having a safe place. It's about getting the treatment that's needed. For those who have injuries that, you know, that they need the care for, getting that care. For those who are suffering from PTSD and other just mental disorders from trauma, it's getting help for those vets too. They don't like to be, you know, having to ask for it, but it should be there when they do. It should be available. So on Monday, when we remember Veterans Day, don't just remember those who have served and gone before us, but remember those who have served and are still fighting every single day, because their battle in the war zone may have ended, but their battle at home really has only just begun. And I also want to say a big thank you to all of the caregivers out there as well, because without you, you know, a lot of these men and women's lives would be a lot different. And while we're talking about our veterans and everything, I just want to give a very special shout out to a very special person who is family. This person helped drive one of the most important people in my life halfway across the country so that I could get a hug. And I'll basically put it like that. And you know, he did it selflessly. He did it without complaining. He did it without arguing. And surprisingly, by the end of the trip, he managed to survive me and his wife being together. So this is a big shout out to Brandon. From the bottom of my heart and from the bottom of everybody's heart, we thank you. I know you probably don't hear that from a lot of people, but truly, we thank you. You are an amazing man. You are a wonderful husband, which Cora can attest to. You are a phenomenal dad, and I am proud to call you family. There truly, truly isn't many people who I take into my immediate circle who are family. And you and Cora are two of them.
I am proud to call you both my brother and sister. And for everything you have done for your family, for your state, and for your country, and for everybody worldwide, for the price of freedom, we thank you. And that is the honest, heartfelt truth. We thank you so much, Brandon. And please give your wife a big hug for me, because I miss her bunches too. So on that note, as I say, it is important that we take time to thank certain people because they need to hear it. You know, it's not all about, they know we're grateful. They know. I post on Facebook that I'm grateful. No, just say thank you to someone. Just come out and say thank you to someone. It's the power of those words. You have no idea. You seriously have no idea. It's such a blessing when someone, regardless of what you're doing, says thank you. You could be holding open a door for someone, and if that person says thank you, it leaves you, you know, I did something good. And I know that veterans around the world, those two words said to them is very important, and it means a lot to them. And they don't hear it enough. What their services to me is taken basically for granted. Whatever they do, you know, it's expected of them. When you join the military, this is what's expected of you. Yes, it is. But just because it's expected of you doesn't mean that a thank you isn't welcome. You know, those words, I mean, more people need to say thank you. It's not hard. It's not going to kill you to say it. Just come out and say, thank you, I appreciate it. You know, write a card. Do you know what I mean? Write a card. Put a little card in the mail. Drop off a cake at the VA. Just something that shows appreciation. Because it is, your appreciation is appreciated. Oh, so, see, I get all emotional. I promised myself I wasn't going to get emotional tonight. I wasn't going to cry tonight. But then I end up talking about things that get me emotional and make me cry. See, I'm a big old soppy mess of goo. Gosh. See, I'm all blocked up and everything now. I'm all sniffly and, ooh, I have to fan my face again and, poor AJ, he has to deal with it. I swear to you, he spends half his life looking at me like, oh, God, what's she crying over this time? See, and that's the whole thing is, you see this persona of me, but you see online and hear about me on here. But this is me. I am so emotional, you have absolutely no idea. I will cry at commercials on TV, and every emotion that I have is pretty much on the forefront. I can go through about 12 different emotions in about a 5-minute span, which some of you have actually witnessed, sadly. But the fact of it is that the me that you see online isn't always the me who you know. The real me is a person who I just love, love, love being with the people that I love. As I've pointed out before, if you are my friend and I love you, my house is open to you. You know, you come in, you have a cup of tea, you come in, I'll feed you. You come into my home, you just sit down, relax, kick your shoes off and have a good time. If your feet smell, I'm going to let you know. Put your damn shoes back on, your feet smell like cheese. But either way, you know, you're welcomed into my home and you are loved. The same with, you know, with how my emotions are, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I take things very personally at times when I shouldn't. You know, so there are times I should just sit back and let things happen the way they're supposed to, but I can't. There are a lot of times when my friends get hurt that I hurt, and I want to help them, I want to protect them, and I just have nothing else I can say on that one. But, you know, it was one of those things, you know, in regards to all that, is that a lot of my joking around and everything covers up these emotions that just hang on the forefront. And I
don't like people seeing the real me. Even though, yeah, there's a lot of my radio shows, like last week, I just couldn't contain it, and, you know, I just cried. There's a lot of times that those emotions are so much on the forefront that it's easier to joke around and joke around. There are a few people who can see right through it. Cora's one of them. Billy is another one. Jenna is one of them. They can see through everything I put up there. And I don't know what it is. It's either they either can sense it or they know me so well. But it's, you know, if I get very, very quiet, if, you know, those type of things, that's the way it is. A quick shout out. Good night, Jen. I love you. Talk to you in the morning. Mwah, 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 mwah. But yeah, my emotions are just like on the go. Poor AJ, I think he gets whiplash sometimes from him. And it's absolutely crazy. We have to give another shout out. See, we haven't had our shout out moments. I started with Cora and Brandon. But apparently Miss Alicia is finally listening. I mean, come on, I've been doing this radio show for a year now, and finally she chooses to listen in. My gosh. And yeah, what can be said? You'd think that she has a newborn or something in a house full of children. You really would. The world needs to end when my radio show. No, not end, because that's really kind of weird. The world needs to stop for a two-hour break. We all need to sit down with ice cream and tea. We have to go to this whole ice cream and tea thing. So, being me, I love to, like, mix all my stuff together. I love a little bit of tea. I love my ice cream and stuff. I made the biggest mistake a couple of weeks back of having a wonderful, wonderful bowl of ice cream. It was so good. It's actually mango and coconut flavored. Phenomenal, phenomenal ice cream. I highly recommend it. It really did taste like proper mangoes. So I had mango and coconut ice cream. Then went and made myself a really nice big cup of tea. Made the mistake of chugging down the tea. The pain that went through my teeth. Oh, my dear Lord. I have never experienced anything like it in my life. I swear I nearly wanted to throw my cup through the window. But then I got some sense because, oh, that pain. It's like nothing you can imagine. It really isn't. But I do stupid stuff like that all the time. I'm forever, like, go to make something for dinner, and I'll open the oven and go to grab the tray out of the oven without a tea towel, without oven gloves or anything on. And, you know, the next thing I'm, like, wondering why I have burnt fingertips and all that. And I'll give you a prime example of how idiotic I can be. I've got a couple of items that needed some, like, the hot glue added to it just to stick some things back on it. Didn't think anything of it. I'm thinking, okay, I wonder if it's hot yet. And I kept squeezing the trigger on the glue gun, and the glue wasn't coming out. So I'm like, okay, I wonder if it's even hot. And touch the tip, where it's pure metal, and it was like, oh, it doesn't feel, yeah, oh, it's hot. With these little bubbles on my finger and thumb. Now, you would have thought I'd learned my lesson right there, but no. Right away afterwards, I was still trying to work out if this, if it was hot enough, and I'm pressing the trigger, and I'm aiming. Where do you? I'm like a complete deal hole. I'm aiming the glue, the end of it, at the finger I have just burned on the glue gun, and squirted hot glue all over it. And I was like, oh, it doesn't hurt that bad. No, because you'd already burnt your finger, so you're already in pain. And it's like, okay, let's peel that glue off. The whole fingertip. One big bubble, and it's like, yeah, that hurts. Yep, so was smart, went to the sink, ran it under cold water, kept it under there. You know, a good 15 minutes under cold water. My hand was going a little bit numb, but that's no problem. You know, it was fine. So, okay, put some burn ointment on it. We're awesome. We're good. Let's, you know, move along. Went and decided to take a shower. You can see where this is going. You can seriously see where this is going. took a shower, started to wash my hair, and the pain started. Because AJ will attest to the fact that when I have a shower, you know, it, very little cold water is added, because I know why. I like very, very hot showers. And the pain started searing through my fingers again. So it's like, okay, screamed a little bit, finished my shower, got out, round my finger through the cold water again. You know, 10 minutes later, made myself a cup of tea. And I very rarely hold my cup by the handle. I was like, cup it as though it doesn't have a handle. Use the hand with the burns. And there I am. I mean, it was just a comedy of errors. Seriously, for one, who the heck touches the tip of a hot glue gun apart from me? Seriously. Next thing was, who then puts and squirts hot glue on their fingertips? Obviously me. Let's raise a hand on that one. Then on top of that, goes and takes a hot shower and then picks up a hot cup. I swear to you, whatever brain I have, it doesn't work. It's completely insane. That's all there is to it. It's so completely insane. The pain searing through that hand, oh, it was bad. And, you know, thankfully now it's, you know, I kind of watch what I'm doing. I'm not kind of as idiotic. You know, yeah, okay, I am as idiotic, but I try not to publicize my idioticness. But, you know, it's, I am so stupid when it comes to things like that. And, I mean, AJ would attest, if I'm not tripping over something, I'm falling down, burning myself. It's a comedy of errors. It really is. I have no idea why, but it's been like it since I was tiny. Ever since I was little, I am so accident prone, like big time accident prone. I get it from my mom. She's, oh, if there is a hair on the floor, you can bet we will find it, trip over it, and break it. It's, yeah, it really is kind of that way. While I have actually everybody's attention, those of you who are listening who know about Angel Babies that's run by Alicia, they actually have a fundraiser going on right now. They actually have two fundraisers going on right now. You're going to have to either go to Alicia or Cora and look for the details. One of them is they're trying to sell awareness T-shirts. These T-shirts are phenomenal. They are really nice. They're $20, which isn't too bad in price at all. And these T-shirts just basically highlight who you are, you know, that you are a member of the baby loss community, that one in four baby losses. Obviously, it has butterflies and giraffes on because, surprise, Cora and Alicia like butterflies and giraffes. I know that's going to be a shock to everyone. The other fundraiser I haven't had a chance to look at, I will admit that. I will get to have a look at it. But if you go to either Alicia or Cora or go to the Angel Babies page, you will actually find these fundraisers and you can help out. All of mine goes to a great cause. Alicia and Cora do amazing work and are helping so many families with what they do. They do it selflessly. They're not, you know, made of money. I know there's this old thing that, you know, everybody assumes that if you run a page that does these things that you're rolling in money. Oh, don't we wish. But just, you know, go check them out. The money helps so many people. And, you know, I've actually been blessed. I've got some of Alicia's stuff actually hanging in my living room. I've got stuff in my bedroom as well. The work is amazing. Stuff that she has, and my phone is starting to beep, which means that we're going to have to wrap up this show very soon because my phone's going to die. But if you go check it out, I'm just, because she just sent me a message, so yep. If you go check it out, All the Money Helps Angel Babies. It's a phenomenal, as I say, it's one of the best programs there is out there. She does a lot of hard work, and they both work hard. They just done their Mother's Day thing, which was where writing names on stones. You know, last year they had about 150 names. This year they had over 400 names that they did. This is all their own work. It all comes out their own pocket. All they've ever asked is for shipping costs. because shipping gets ridiculous. I know that for a fact. All of this is such a good thing that they do. As I say, my phone is beeping at me, so we're going to cut this show short. We've only got 25 minutes left anyway. I want to give big shouts out to everybody who tuned in tonight. As I say, a huge happy birthday to the heavens, to my sister Kayla. I love you so very much and miss you so much. Big shouts out to everybody who tunes in and listens, and you'll be able to catch us all later on in the week. Hopefully Friday, if I remember and I'm not out of the house, we will do Hazel and her tea. That starts at 11 a.m. Tomorrow is the Smarks List. Saturday is the Peter West Show. Monday is WSSO Aftermath with me and AJ. That's at 10:30 Central Time after Monday Night Raw. So we will catch you all on the flip side. We hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Happy Memorial Day to everybody. Go thank somebody in uniform. Loads of love and catch you all soon. Bye.